That came about because a fellow called Will Birch that used to play in the Kurzweil Flyers later on, he said, have you heard about this scene in London, this London pub rock scene? And we all said no, you know, the thought of playing in London was tremendous. You know, would never play in London. Gradually we got a few, we were working two or three nights a week in pubs in London. I mean, for 15 quid a night, and that was for the old band, that wasn't just each, that was, we all had day jobs as well. And all of a sudden one day, this fella that we later found out worked for the NME, I think he was the editor at that time, walked into this pub, and afterwards he came out and he said, I think you're wonderful. He said, I want to do an interview with you, and I want to do a thing in my newspaper. We said, oh yeah, we've heard all this one before. What paper do you work for? And he said, well, the New Musical Express. So he did a kind of a piece on us, and then the next thing we know, we had all these people from record companies turning up, and every gig we did in the pubs. And but that was at the time of, there was a thing called the vinyl crisis. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Well, that was the big excuse for not signing us up. But really, looking back on it, no record company man in his right mind would have signed us up playing R&B in 1975, and it was completely unheard of. It took a brave man like Andrew Lauder, who was working for UA at that time, to stick his neck out and give us a chance, which he did do. It all took several months before the deal actually got signed. So in that time, Wilco was the main writer in those days. I'd never written a song in my life at that point. Sat down and got his thinking cap on and wrote several songs, which we later recorded on our first album. You know, things like Roxette, She Does It Right, All Through the City, all that kind of stuff, which he wrote remarkably, amazingly quickly.
Down by the Jetty was the first LP.
Mm-hmm.
Was the band happy with that recording?
Well, it was our first recording. We didn't have anything to judge it by. We all thought it was stupendous. You know, we thought it was the best thing we'd ever heard. It was us on record, and
it came out in mono, didn't it? Which was unusual at the time.
Yeah, it wasn't planned that way. I mean, we recorded it in stereo, same as everybody else did in those days, and still to this day, for that matter. What happened was, though, we refused to do any overdubs on it. We were very suspicious of the recording studio. The idea of playing two guitars and everything was, the producer, Vic May, would keep saying, well, put another guitar on the track. And we'd say, no, we can't do that. It'll destroy our natural sound. Consequently, when we came to mix it, when it sounded in stereo, you had, on the left-hand side, you had the guitar. On the right-hand side, you had the vocal. And it was so split up, we thought, well, this sounds awful. Let's try mixing it into two separate stereo tracks rather than one mono, in fact, is how it came out. And that was the answer. We thought, well, let's do that and call it mono. Then, of course, all the critics said, oh, yes, they're going back to mono, and it's a big... I mean, it wasn't anything like that at all. We just did it more by accident, you know.